Short of catechism question this week is, what are the decrees of God? And the answer is, the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby, for His own glory, He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. A little bit of a quibble with the question, what are the decrees of God? We get the His eternal purpose, which is singular, and so it might well have been to ask the question, what is the decree of God, and have the answer begin, the decree of God is. The plural is actually related to the last line of the answer, which is correct. He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, or as Ephesians 1:11 puts it, He works all things according to the counsel of His will. And it's that whatsoever, or all things, even better, from Ephesians 1:11, that is the plural, so that we know that whatever happens, happens because God has willed it, because God has ordained it. And so there are things that apply from God's character and that are proven out by God's promises and by the Bible history and the rest of history in fulfillment. And these things that must belong to something, must belong to every event because God has willed it, is what makes up the substance of the answer. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose, something that He purposes from outside of time. Now, we've recently, in Romans 8, for instance, noted that nothing in time can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord, because it's a love that is set upon us from outside of time. Or to put it with reference not so much to time, but to space and to wills and to creatures, nothing that is willed or done by the creature can ever undo that which is willed or done by the Creator. And so God's purpose is always an eternal purpose. It is not as if God has changing purposes, as He says of Himself. He is not a man that He should lie, or the son of a man that He should change His mind. When Scripture talks about God relenting, it talks about Him changing His course of action as He had ordained to do because the creature had changed his course of action as God had ordained he would do. And this is just something that we have to submit ourselves to the reality of, is that there are two wills operating, God's and the creature's. And whereas the creature's evil will is really evil and is really a will, yet the creature's evil will is superintended by God's good will. And God's good will is really good and really a will. And so whether a creature is willing good or willing evil, God is always willing good, and the two wills are operative at the same time. As Joseph says to his brothers, you intended it. You intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. But the difference is not just which will is superintending, which intention is the determinative intention of the outcome. The difference is also seen here in our answer, is that God's purpose is eternal and unchanging. He is, as we have already confessed, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, not only in His being, but also in His wisdom, also in His faithfulness, also in His goodness. And all of these things, therefore, are tied to the unchangeable purpose of God. He is God who cannot lie. He is God who does not change His mind. So the decrees of God are His eternal purpose according to the counsel of His will. Now, this is actually a little bit redundant, isn't it? Because if it's God's eternal purpose, there can be no other counselors that determine the purpose. There can be no data points that He must take into account and respond to in what He purposes. Rather, it is His purposes that result in all of the other data points. As we were attempting to understand those whom He foreknew, He also predestined, we dealt with this idea of God predestining according to what He saw in the future, which would not be a predestination at all. And of course, that was not what the word foreknew meant. It meant to know someone ahead of time, that there is an electing love, an electing knowing not a knowing about or a prescient collection of data on God's part. And so the wisdom that goes into the purpose of God is entirely his own wisdom. And the power that goes into the purposing of God is infinite. He is not limited by something that he has to respond to. And so it is according to the counsel of his will. Now there is something in the word counsel here that does hint at or remind us of the fact that God is triune. That although there be only one God, he does exist eternally in these three persons, or these three hypostases, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And so, in the love and adoration and fellowship and commitment and delight of each of the persons in and to one another, there is something of an intra-Trinitarian council. You remember, God has only one mind, only one will within God. And yet, within that mind, within that will, is something that comes out of or is expressive of the proper relation of each of the persons to the others in what we call, because it belongs to each person, their personal properties. And this is why, since it is according to the counsel of his will, according to this intra-Trinitarian, singular intention, will, desire, purpose, that it is always for his own glory. Which is right, of course, because God alone is God. And it would be wicked of him to purpose or to do anything that wasn't for his own glory. Just as it would be wicked for us to purpose or to do anything that isn't for God's glory. And yet, because God is triune, the counsel of his will purposes his glory not in selfishness, which would not be wrong for God, but even then in generosity in each of the other person's love for and delight in the other persons. And so God generously desires and purposes and plans according to his own glory, even within the Godhead, but then also it is generous unto us that he does all things for his own glory. Because to be known by God and to know his glory, and to be loved by God and to love him who is all glorious, so that we delight in him, he is our portion, he is our treasure, he is our pleasure. This is the highest good that any creature can have. And so it is actually generous of God unto us that he does all things for his own glory. So that if we could just have, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, a proper desire for the glory of God in all things, and if we could just have, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, a proper confidence and certainty that all things are unto his glory, just as he has purposed it, we would find ourselves fully satisfied and delighted with whatsoever comes to pass, even as God rejoices in his works, which we will consider at the end of Psalm 104 this week. And so we know that it is for his own glory, and therefore it is also for the good of those who are being given to be united to Christ, and therefore in their union with the Son, to be the adopted, loving children of the Father, and the delighted and holy temples that are consecrated unto the Holy Spirit who dwells in them. And therefore, this is the great good of the believer. When we say that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are therefore, since they have been brought to love God, the called according to his purpose, we are saying that their love for God will eventually be perfected. Those whom he justified, he also glorified, conforming them to the image of his Son. And if we love God, then the good that all things work together for is not merely earthly comfort and pleasantness and health. The good that it all works together for is the expression of God's glory married to our desiring and perceiving and enjoying that glory. And that is why our blessedness will be forever and unimaginable. Because although we be finite and ever increasing in our capacity for blessedness, the object of our happiness, of our blessedness, is already, to use an unhelpfully temporal term, is eternally, to say it better, the object of our blessedness is eternally infinite, which, by the way, not so much related to this question, but is one of the ways in which someone's blessing in heaven can be greater or less because of our finitude, because we are finite. Although we will enjoy him forever, and increasingly so, we will have different capacities. The more that the Lord has grown us and does grow us in glory, the difference in experience will be different, as must be the case with creatures, because creatures are not like the unchangeable Creator. But back to the Catechism answer here, when it says, whereby for his own glory we can insert with the delight of our hearts, if we are believers, and our unending, always increasing good. Because the knowledge and delight, knowledge of and delight in his glory is the believer's great good. And so the answer, or the question rather, what are the decrees of God, has the answer. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass.